Come stop and take a trip down on my block, on. Where you see hidden potential, young minds sharper than Ginsu, and ain't afraid to speak their mind if they got something against you. Nope. We standing with you, we tackle issues like civic pride. Hate will cease to exist, let's put our differences aside. From my side to your side, from Dutch Town to South Side, from Penrose to North Side, from Benton Park to Old North, to West End to West Side. We bless when we step out, we stand down, rise up, stand together, why?
This is Stitchcast Studio, produced by St. Louis Story Stitchers in St. Louis, Missouri.
In this week's episode, our Stitchcast sits down to have a conversation with entrepreneur and motivational speaker, Akeem Shannon.
They say who that, but you already knew that. That beat them Story Stitchers, Story Stitchers, Story Stitchers, Story Stitchers, Story Stitchers.
Hello everybody, under the sound of my voice, I want to thank you for tuning in to another episode of Stitchcast Studio. I'm your host Brandon Lewis, and accompanied by several members of our Stitchcast. What's good, what's good, what's good? And so ladies and gentlemen, you may or may not remember a podcast that we had with Andre Norman. Okay, and this is definitely one of the most popular podcasts we've ever had. I would only imagine it's because of the intensity of the conversation that we had. Definitely got a lot of downloads on that joint. In the building also was another motivational speaker, another person with a very inspirational story. And after said podcast, he actually reached out to me. We had a nice conversation then, and right then I knew I wanted to bring him on for a conversation. And then ironically, like, what was it, like a week ago, I bumped into you at my church. This just so happened to be a day where we was giving out food to people in the neighborhood. But anyway, after that conversation, I knew I had to bring you on. He is actually the inventor of Flipstick. He's been on Shark Tank. Ladies and gentlemen, please help me welcome Akeem Shannon. How you feeling, boss?
Yo, man, I'm feeling good. I'm excited to be here, you know, talk to you guys, you know, share a little bit of knowledge. I don't know a lot, but I know a little bit about a couple things. So,
I feel
yeah,
that.
Yeah, man, I'm excited.
So to start it off, you saw the Andre Norman podcast, and when you reached out to me, you gave me some words of encouragement, which I do 100% appreciate. But one of the things that stood out to me was you said you were interested in having a conversation about success from a different perspective.
Yeah.
And that kind of stood out to me, and did kind of help me to even look at the Andre podcast from a different perspective. But where does it start for you? Where did your story start? You know, what was the humble beginnings, if there were humble beginnings, and how did you get to where you are?
Well, you know, I just started off and I was a millionaire in the story. No. Yeah, man. You know, for me, it started off losing my scholarship. So I had a full scholarship through Howard University. Yeah. Right. I was like on top of the world. I'm studying chemical engineering, and I go to Howard and I lose my scholarship. Yeah. And man, I was devastated. Not only was I devastated, I didn't tell my parents. I went up to the school after I got kicked out of school, and I was squatting in the dorm. I didn't realize it at the time. I was so depressed. Like, I mean, I was staying up all night, sleeping all day. Like, it was a hard, hard time. And I remember when I finally made that call to my parents to tell them, like, yo, I done messed up. It was one of the hardest phone calls I ever had to make. And I had to come home, and I had to start over. And, you know, I went to a pretty prestigious, I would say, high school, mostly white. These kids are going to Harvard and Yale and all these places. And I'm one of the few black kids there. Now I'm a failure. And that's a very hard thing to accept. And I don't want anybody to know that. And so when I came home, I made a promise to myself. I was like, by the time my friends graduate college, I want to be making at least as much as the average college graduate. If I can't have a college degree, I can at least be making college degree money. That was my thought process. And so I had always been kind of a tech person. You know, I love phones. So ended up getting a job at a cell phone store, Sprint at the time. And so I start working at Sprint, and I realized, oh, I'm pretty good at this, right? I'm making sales, start making some money. I want to make a lot of money. It was like $10 an hour plus commission, but I was feeling a little better. Yeah. And, you know, I worked there for a while, I get some promotions. And then eventually, one of my former managers had left to go and work at Verizon in a call center. So he calls me up. He's like, yo, King. He's like, these people can't sell nothing here. If you come here, you're going to be making twice as much as you're making now. So I left. My parents was heated. They like, you done got all these promotions at Sprint, and you just gonna leave? I'm like, yeah. So I go to Verizon, and he was right. Like, I went from making probably about $30,000 a year instantly to $60,000 a year. And that was doing no work. And over the course of the next, you know, year or so, that went up to $90,000 a year.
Wow.
And so now I'm starting to feel like, okay, you know, I'm feeling myself a little bit. But the thing that made me fully feel like I had recovered from this immense failure of losing my scholarship was Rising had this competition called Rockstar. And in this competition, they would have everybody pitch the Verizon Family of Services. And they were like, you know, you'll pitch it. They had a center competition, regional, and then they had this final competition in Miami, Florida at the Fountain Blue Hotel. Mm. If you ever go to Miami, you see this hotel. It's the biggest hotel on the beach. They filmed James Bond there. Like, this hotel's laid out. And Verizon had rented this whole thing out. They had banners everywhere. It said Verizon Rockstar. Mm. And the brilliance of the event planners is they told all the executives and stuff that were there just to watch the competition that, hey, we're going to give you, I can't remember how much it was, probably like $1,000. We're going to give $1,000 to the person who gets the most autographs of the most contestants.
What?
So, so I'm walking through the hotel.
You feel me? I was like, bet.
And people are running up to me. Can I have your autograph? And as you can imagine, the other people in the hotel are like, Verizon Rockstar. People are getting his autograph. So then people in the hotel are coming up to me like, yo, are you a rock star? Are you a rapper? Who are you? And I'm here for, you know, I work for Verizon. They don't know that. And I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm performing later. And so it was just this amazing thing. And I ended up winning this whole competition, right? Whole company, I win it. I ended up winning like, I don't know, it was like $12,000, $13,000 for this competition. On top of my salary. And man, I felt on top of the world. I came back to St. Louis. Everyone was so excited. I got to do all these amazing things at Verizon. You know, they had me film trainings and all kinds of stuff. And man, like, for the first time, this was about 4 years after I lost my scholarship. For the first time since I had flunked out of school, I was like, I've come back. Like, you know, I made good money and I had saved up probably close to $100,000 cash. And I'm like, yo, I'm doing this thing. And at that moment, I finally ended up telling my friends from high school, like, yo, I failed, you know, but also I'm doing cool.
Right. For sure.
So like that's where I started.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? It's that time again, time for another StitchCast Studio Arts Interlude. That's right, it's time to pick the city up. This week, we have a Story Stitch's original song entitled Worthy.
I got a friend, he's spiraling down, wondering how I could break him out. Pick up a pen, pick up a pad, write everything I could think about. Judging his past, they judging him bad, don't let it break him, but even out. Even through smiles, even through laughs, I see the things he don't speak about.
It's what they all say, that's what they all say.
His potential longest hallways, he bright as broad day. He the strongest that I've ever known, so I know he'll rise. And his talent in every word he wrote, but towing lines are becoming just a statistic. Pain in his life is given, pain is watching you become exactly what they predicted. Pain is watching you let your pride sabotage your position. When opportunity don't knock on doors of the hoods we live in. Hurt to see them winning when they ain't nearly as gifted. Thinking the game is equal than losing cause of your pigment. Traumatized with no trauma units to help you heal it. Pain is love, persevering, perception isn't.
I'm putting all these foggy lenses, leaning on the gifts of my senses. Knowing the true power's within me, determined so I fight to the finish.
So I gotta stay patient, but when I look into their eyes, all they don't see is hatred. I know the love ain't gonna say why they think I'ma take it. Feel like I'm trapped up in my thoughts and now my mind is stay racing. I gave my heart to some people, I didn't think they would break it. I put my trust in some people, I didn't think they would snake me. And when they told me that they love me, never knew they would fake it. Now I feel my soul is gone, so call me a demon. Whole time they told me lies and I couldn't believe it.
I can't hang with her with friends cause they cause he fiending. Always told me you was solid, but now you leaning. I know I wanna cross your mind and feel like you dreaming. Know my boss out as the sun, so call me a phoenix. Put some ice up on my neck, you can see it gleaming. Hey, you can see it gleaming, yeah.
So I fight to the finish. I'm a dream big, yeah, I'm a goal.
So you don't have to get into anything that you're not comfortable talking about or nothing like that. Mm-hmm. But what led you to A, lose the scholarship, mm-hmm. and were you able to overcome the emotional result of the failure before finding success after that?
That's a great question. You know, I've often thought, like, what was the reason? And I can't necessarily pinpoint exactly what it is, but it's probably a number of things that came together, right? Like, I remember I wasn't going to class, right? Like, I wasn't doing my schoolwork. But this had also happened in high school. I had lost my scholarship in high school. Wow. But in high school, I used to clean the office of the admission director, Miss Gibbons. And I was like, Miss Gibbons, you know, they about to pull my scholarship. Like, can you do something for me? So, and she's like, oh, got on the computer, switched some stuff around. And Miss Gibbons retired now, so she never get in trouble. But, you know, shout, she gave me time to fix it. Mm. And that helped me get my grades together. So this time around, you know, I know Miss Gibbons at Howard.
Right.
And so I was in trouble. But I would say, like, I think a big part of it for me is I was suffering unknowingly from depression because I was in the closet and I was gay. And I didn't want anybody to find out. I'm like, I'm at this black school. Like, and I came from a white school. Now I'm at all black school. And I'm like, I don't want anybody to find out. And I was just very nervous that if I did something wrong, people would know and I would get rejected. I wouldn't have any friends. Like, that's the way I felt. Mm-hmm. Now, I would later come to find out that wasn't true, mm-hmm. but that's the way I felt when I was there. Yeah. And, you know, I would say that was probably part of it, but another part of it was I wasn't doing what I was passionate about. Mm. See, I went to go study chemical engineering, and I hated chemistry. Mm. And I'm like, yo, chemistry sucks. Okay. Like, I'm in organic chemistry, and I'm like, dang, this is, nothing about this is fun. Mm-hmm. And I had taken a mechanical, intro to mechanical engineering class, and I enjoyed that. But I didn't switch my major because I thought that switching my major meant I had failed, like I'm giving up on myself, and so I didn't want to do that. But if I had to go back and do it all over again, like, I would have definitely switched my major because I wasn't passionate about it. And I think so often we do things because people tell us it's what we should do versus doing what we're passionate about, because people say, oh, what you're passionate about, you can't do that.
Right.
And that's just simply not the case.
Facts. Facts. That is facts. I mean, well, okay, so if you switched the major, that might have changed you.
I have no regrets. Yeah, no, I'm glad it happened the way it did.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay, cool. That was going to be my question. Do you feel like you would still be on the path you on?
No, man. I probably would have been, you know, figuring out how to turn a Cheez-It into 100 calories. You know, that's what chemical engineers do. Now, they get paid $250,000 a year to do it, but
a single Cheez-It?
Yeah, they're like, no, you know, the packs. Yeah. They're like, all right, well, if I take the calories and then I do this and then I switch to triglycerides, okay, then this can be 99 calories and I can sell it to somebody doing yoga. Like, I mean, that's soul crushing.
You
said you appreciate the people.
Definitely do. Listen, I ain't gonna fake it. I like snacks. That's
100 calories. Exactly.
I like to snack. You feel me? So I just don't
want to be in the lab creating it. I want to eat it.
You feel me? Right, I root you on from the sideline.
Right.
Like, you can do it. Make that Snicker 100 calories, please. But for sure. So did that class help you to later go on and create the Flipstick? How did that come about?
Yeah, so, you know, fast forward, I left Verizon. I ended up working at Square. Square makes Cash App, for those who may not know. And I started working with all these entrepreneurs, right? Because Square makes a credit card processing service. And I'm talking to entrepreneurs every day. And these are regular people. And somebody's like, yeah, you know, I just started with a t-shirt press. And then we did this. And then we took some to the Cubs game. And now our business is $7 million. I'm like, dang. What? Right. And I talk to somebody else. Yeah, you know, I just really like tea, and I think I want to start a tea business. And I'm following them. And then next year, a year later, they're like, yeah, I'm making $1 million. I was like, wait a minute. What am I doing? Because I'm closing these deals and I'm only making like $2,000 off the deal. Square is making like $100,000 off the deal, and the entrepreneur is making $1 million off the deal.
Right.
Well, this equation is not working for me.
Yeah.
And so even though at Square, like, it was a tech company, it was amazing benefits, right? Like, we had unlimited vacation, unlimited, not weeks. You take as much vacation as you want. We had catered lunch every day. They brought it to you. You ordered it. It was real nice. Got flown all over the place. Like, it was, and I told myself one day, I remember I was sitting there and I was like, man, you know, I'm making more money than ever and I'm not happy. And I have a great job. Like, unequivocally a great job. I led our it's called the Black Square Association. So I would bring in like black speakers to come and speak to the, I mean, it was like, you know, what more could you ask for? But I had to ask for more.
Yeah.
And so I remember I went to my boss and I was like, Tom, you know, I can't do this anymore. I need to go. I gotta go do my own thing. And he was super supportive and he gave me a book called The Alchemist. And so, has anybody read The Alchemist?
I heard of it.
The Alchemist, I won't spoil it because I highly recommend you read it. The Alchemist about this boy, and he goes on this journey to find his treasure. And he has a dream about the treasure. It's at the pyramids. So he's like, I'm going to go find this treasure. But he's not sure about it. He's like, well, maybe that's a dumb idea. But he meets this wise man who's a king. And the king tells him, no, you should go and find your treasure because it's there at the pyramids. And he's like, all you have to do is follow the omens or the signs and they'll guide you on your path to finding your treasure. Mm-hmm. So he goes on this journey. And so the way the book came to me, it ended up having a profound effect on my life because even though my boss had given me this book, I didn't know any of this stuff about the book because I didn't read the book. But I was one day watching a YouTube video my mom had sent me. It was Pharrell and Oprah. And you know, Oprah's sitting there and she's, Pharrell, tell me about a book that changed your life. You know, what made you, all these Grammys and what's the book that changed your life? And Pharrell's just like, you know, Oprah, the book that changed my life is The Alchemist. And I'm like, damn, I have that book. I should go read that book because I'm trying to figure out what it is I want to do. I don't read the book. But, you know, I'm like, I should read it. I'm not going to read it now, but later. And so a few days later, I hear about the book again. It's on the New York Times bestseller list. This is a 30-year-old book. It's back on the bestsellers list. I'm like, man, what's going on with this book? Still don't read the book. So then finally, I'm moving into a new apartment. And stuff's everywhere, boxes. And my boss had given me this beautiful copy of the book. It was like hardback, had illustrations in it, really nice. But on my counter in this new apartment was this old $6.99 discount paperback torn up book. And it was The Alchemist.
Word.
And I freak out. I'm like frozen. I talk to my boy. I'm like, hey, did you put this book here? Like, where did this book come from? He's like, bro, I don't know where this book is from. And I freak out. I'm scrambling through the boxes. I go find the other book. I'm looking at them side by side to make sure I ain't crazy.
Oh, yeah.
And I sit down, I read that book cover to cover.
And
when I read about these omens and this sign and this kid's dreams, I'm like, yo, I gotta keep my eyes out for these signs. Because if I keep my eyes out for these signs, I'll figure out what it is I'm trying to do. I just quit my job. I gotta figure out what I wanna do. And it was with that mindset that maybe 2-3 days later, I get a phone call from my uncle. He's an engineer at NASA, 3:00 in the morning. And he's like, hey, I'm working on this project and it's for the Space Launch System and I'm gonna use this adhesive that NASA created in the 70s. It's based off gecko's feet. You can wash it, blah, blah, blah. And I'm looking at my TV, which had taken me an extraordinary amount of time to figure out how to mount. And I'm like, man, if I just had this adhesive, I could mount my TV on the wall. And I just can't get this out my head, this idea. And so a few days later, I'm like, well, a TV may be far-fetched, but a little tiny TV that could work. And that's what I did when Flipstick was born. A little device goes on the back of your phone, lets you stick your phone to virtually any flat surface. So you can do TikTok videos, right, hands-free pictures, watch Netflix, all that kind of stuff. It has a built-in kickstand, what have you. And that's where the idea came from. And like, I had one engineering class, you know, but we made a trebuchet. Like, I didn't really know nothing. So, you know, but what I did know was the story of the GoPro guy. Everybody knows what GoPro is, right?
Yeah.
Right? Well, the little action camera. So the GoPro guy is a surfer, bro. He don't know nothing about cameras. He's no engineer. But he was going all around the world, semi-pro surfer. And he's like, man, I have no footage from any of these competitions I've been in except from the beach. Nobody can see me. And so he's like, it would be really great if I had a little tiny camera that was on my surfboard. So he goes to Best Buy, gets a little Sony camera, right? Then he goes to the arts and crafts store, gets some acrylic, puts it together, takes some tape, wraps it up, puts it in an envelope, ships it off to China, says, hey, can you make this, but make it waterproof? And he started a $3 billion company.
Wow.
Knows nothing about cameras.
Wow.
Knows nothing about engineering. He just had an idea and he knew if he found the right people, he could have it built. So I did the same thing. I just went, made a prototype, took some videos of it, found some factories in China, sent it to him, spent a little bit of money, about $3,000 or so. And I ended up getting the prototype back from the right person. And that was literally, they were our manufacturer for Flipstick up until like 2021.
all the way through Shark Tank and everything.
So yeah, man. So that's how the Flipstick was born. And through that process, I had to teach myself to write my own patent. I had no money. I wrote my own patent, wrote my own trademarks, launched a Kickstarter campaign. You guys know what Kickstarter is?
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. Who said yeah?
The Kickstarter campaign, that's like,
what's Kickstarter?
Isn't it like a platform for just like businesses and stuff like that?
Yep. What, do you know what it does in particular for businesses?
Not exactly, no.
So it allows you to do essentially a pre-order campaign. Mm-hmm. So if you have an idea for a movie, an album, you want to produce a product, like you can go make a video, talk about what it is you want to create, and then people will literally buy it from you before you make it. So wow. On Kickstarter, we raised $15,000. That's the campaign right there. So we raised about $15,000 through Kickstarter to help launch our business. And that's equity-free money. And what's that mean? If it's equity-free.
I don't have to pay it back.
I ain't got to pay it back. I don't owe anybody. Mm. And most importantly, I didn't have to give them a piece of what?
A piece of what? Your profits?
Mm. Of my company, exactly. They don't own any 10% of my company. They're just getting pre-orders.
So it's an asset.
Say it again.
It's an asset, basically.
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. So yeah, man, that's how Flipstick got born, and then it got real crazy from there.
Fell. Wow. Okay. Obviously, I got more questions. One more question, then I'm gonna open it to the floor. Because I was looking at Flipstick. I know a lot of content creators, and like I was telling you on Instagram, a lot of there are other content creators in this room, but we come across a lot of artists. Mostly everybody that come through here is an artist. Mm-hmm. And with the way that marketing and social media is set up, if you're an artist, you kind of have to be a content creator.
Absolutely.
In order to gain notoriety. So A, why is Flipstick good for content creators? And B, where can people get a Flipstick? I went on your page and I couldn't exactly figure it out. So where can people?
So they can get on our website, right? Mm-hmm. Which is getflipstick.com. They can get on Amazon. And it should link to it right from our Flipstick Instagram page.
I didn't try to Flipstick Instagram, but I should have.
Oh, you go on my personal page.
I went on your personal page.
Oh, yeah, it's not on my personal page. So my personal page has my personal website.
Gotcha.
So you can also, and this is going to spoil a little bit of the story, but you can also get them in Targets. You can get them in Best Buys. You can get AT&T stores. You can get T-Mobile stores. You can get them at Pilot and Flying J, travel centers, gas stations. So we have over 3,000 points of distribution in the U.S., about another 500 points of distribution in Europe. Mm. We got stores in Kuwait, in Australia, so all over the place.
So you said things got crazy after that. Is that because of the notoriety that you got after being on Shark Tank?
No. So when I say it got crazy, I mean the story got crazy. Gotcha. And the truth is that, like, when you're going to create something, like, and when you read The Alchemist, like, it's not about the destination. It's about the journey.
Yeah.
That's really what it's about. That's what you're on. And in the pursuit of becoming the best version of yourself, that's where you find all the happiness and the joy and the experiences and the memories that make your life beautiful. And so for me, you know, I start off, right? I do this Kickstarter. After I do the Kickstarter, we're not making any money, right? Like, none of my marketing wasn't working. I couldn't figure Facebook ads out. I'm like, okay, what do I got to do? But see, remember, I worked in a retail store. So I'm like, well, I know if I'm in front of somebody, I can sell it to them. So I start going. The first place I ever went actually was Harris Stowe. Went to Harris Stowe and I wanted to sell some to the university because I could do some custom ones with their logo on it. So I go up to the school and there's these two twins there that lived in my building. So I walk up to them like, hey, you know me, I'm from the building. And they're like, yeah, we know you. They were helping with freshman move-in. And so they introduced me to the president. And they're like, yo, we love this idea. Let us help you. So we end up going to the International Festival of Nations here in town. We didn't buy a booth. We just rolled up in there. And we just slinging them, right? Like we on the street, like just slinging them to people. And we probably paid like $100. But man, I was so excited. And it was great because if without them wanting to go with me, I probably wouldn't have went by myself. Because I would have been like, man, this is crazy. Like, people going to be like, what is this dude doing? Yeah. But for them, they're two twins. They look like twins from The Matrix. So they're just like, we just don't walk up to people. We don't care.
Right.
And so then we went back the second day. We made like $150. Then we were like, okay, let's get a booth at a festival. We go to get a booth. Then we make like $350. Then the next event, we make $500. And so I start racking my brain, like, okay, well, what can we do to really like ramp this up? And we decided to go to the mall. We went to Galleria Mall. And the Galleria Mall was terrified because the rent was $5,000. In the lifetime of the business, we had only made like $17,000. And now I'm gonna bet $5,000 for 2 months of space at a kiosk in a mall. And no one would tell you to do that. Because it's like, dude, the mall is dead, bro. Like, get on Amazon. But I didn't know e-commerce very well. So I said, if I'm in front of somebody, I can sell it. So I get to the mall, and that was a crazy situation because I didn't want to do it. I had to call my mom. I was having a breakdown. I'm like, I was so afraid, terrified to take that next step. But when I finally did it, the first day in the mall, by myself, didn't even have the twins with me, sold $500. The next day was six. The next day was seven. And over the course of 60 days, did $30,000 in sales. Okay. 2 months. And I was like, oh, we own something. Mm. And that was like the thing that, once that happened, I was like, I'm in this. We doing this. So January came around. This was all in 2018, right? January 2019 comes around. We go to CES, which is the Consumer Electronics Show, Las Vegas. 120,000 people come, one of the biggest conferences in the world. And I go, I pitch, I win some pitch competitions, and there's a Shark Tank audition. So I go, I audition. 40,000 people apply for Shark Tank every year. Mm. Went from 40,000 down to 10,000, down to 1,000, down to 200. I'm still in it. Mm. They had to get it down from 200 to 120 to film. Mm. And I get cut. And I was devastated. Because I'm like, I put all my eggs in one basket. What am I going to do now? And so that's when I was like, okay. First, I was sad. I was crying, y'all. I was hurt.
I feel you.
But after about 2 weeks, I'm looking on Instagram. And this is a much longer story, but I'm going to condense it. So, I was looking on Instagram, and I find out about an event called the Revolt Summit. And this is an event that Puffy puts on. Now, this was before all the trouble, so we ain't gonna even get into all that. But this is an event that Puffy puts on. It's a music industry event. DJ Khaled was gonna be there. Timbaland was gonna be there. All these people were gonna be there. Fat Joe, everybody. And it was for people who wanted to get into the music industry, want to get record deals. But they had a pitch competition for businesses, and this was in Atlanta. So I'm like, I'm gonna go, I'm gonna pitch, and I'm gonna get Diddy to invest in my company. So I paid for the ticket. It was $500 for the ticket. I paid for the plane ticket. I go down there. And as soon as I bought the ticket, probably like a day later, I find out the pitch competition is closed. They already picked the finalists. I'm not going to be able to pitch. I'm like, are you serious? It smells unorganized. Like, what is going on here? And so, but at the time, like, I had just read another book called Think and Grow Rich. Phenomenal book about business and following your dreams and passions. And I was just like so convinced that no matter what, this event was meant for me. I just knew it. And so they also had a rap competition. And I got to thinking, I was like, well, you know, in high school, I was in music appreciation. So, you know, like, I'll just write a rap and I'll rap my pitch to Diddy, you know, about my business. And that was the plan. Now, I didn't tell nobody about this plan. Because arguably, it's a stupid plan. And just about anybody would have talked me out of this plan. But I believed in it. So I didn't really care what other people's opinions were because I was going to go do it. And so, and also, I was in the hole by $1,000. So I was like, I got to go make this work.
Something got to happen.
Something
got to shake.
So I write the rap. I use Drake's Money in the Grave beat. Like, I'm getting ready. I went to an open mic night here in town. People was like, yo, that was hot. You got that. And so I go down. A whole bunch of like roadblocks kept coming. They were like, you need to submit a video. I didn't have a video submitted. I had to hurry up, submit a video. All this stuff started happening. But eventually I get to go in front of the judges. I do the rap. They love the rap. They're like, we're giving you top marks. This was crazy. Like, and then I find out I'm in the top five. I'm gonna get to get on stage. DJ Khaled, Diddy, Fat Joe, all these people, right? I'm like, I got this. And then they come up to me and they're like, Akeem, we're sorry, we had to disqualify you from the competition. I'm like, what? And they're like, well, you know, you're not really looking for a record deal. I said, what difference does it make? Right. Like, well, you're looking for a business deal. I said, that's the same thing. Like, what do you think a record deal is? And they didn't agree. So they disqualified me. And I'm sitting there in the audience right before the music competition was a comedy show. DC Young Fly, what's it called? 85 South. They were doing the show live. And I'm sitting there and I ain't laughing because I'm pissed.
Right.
And I'm sitting in the like front row because I had purchased VIP. I was like, I got to get VIP just in case I need to get in the right places. Sure. And I'm sitting there and I had showed the guy next to me my flipstick. And then I'm just thinking and I'm like, I told him I got, you know, disqualified. And I turned to him like, you think I should try to get on stage? And he's like, yeah, bro, you should do it. You got to do it. So I just take my products, pick them up. I stand up, middle of the show, hold the products up. So then DC looks at me and he's like, bro, man, what are you trying to sell me, bro? And I go a full pitch. I'm like, this is a flipstick. You can stick it to a phone. You can take pictures. You can da-da-da-da-da. And the crowd starts bugging. And next thing you know, he's cracking jokes on it. and I derail the whole show. Everyone starts coming to the stage. I got a beauty supply. I got this. I do that. Whole show is destroyed. And so finally this kid comes to the stage and they're gonna let him come on the stage and freestyle. And I'm like, whoa, wait. I have a rap. And they're like, oh man, not the flip stick guy. You know you wanna come up here and wanna embarrass yourself? And I said, yes, I do. And so I got on stage. I do the rap. Crowd loves it. They're laughing. They're having a great time. And the same person that disqualified me runs up to the stage at the end of the show. She's like, oh my gosh, I came. That was just so incredible. Da-da-da-da. And she ends up introducing me to the CEO of Revolt. She introduced me to the sponsor, who was AT&T. She takes me back to the VIP area. I'm hanging out with Diddy. I'm hanging out with DJ Khaled. Everybody's back there. Free bar, everything. And I'm like, what just happened? This is crazy. And I'm collecting everybody's number. I got the CEO's number. I got the assistant's number. I got chief of staff number. I even had Diddy's hairstylist number. So? A gay white man. I said, I know you don't cut Diddy's hair. He's like, yes, I do. I said, okay. And so I had his number. And I'm like, I have to make this work. And I get home and I'm buzzing. I'm like, yo, I'm going to get an investment. Like, it's going to be crazy. Nobody picks up the phone. I call. I text. I email. Nothing. Radio silence. 2 weeks goes by. Nothing. But I'm like, I'm resilient. I'm calling every day. So finally, I get a call. It's from LA. I'm like, oh, I think this is it. And it's the chief of staff. And she's like, Akeem? I was like, hey, yeah, what's going on? She's like, I'm going to need you to stop harassing our employees.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, okay. She's like, but we want about 1,000 flipsticks. We want you to come out to LA.
Hey,
and
yo!
I said, what? So I get ready. It was a crazy scramble trying to get all these flipsticks done for them because it was last minute and we didn't have them in the new packaging. So we had to get them in from China. Then I had to tear them all apart, put them in new packaging, heat wrap them. It was me, my fiance, then boyfriend, but now fiance, and my parents up till 4 a.m. Literally my whole kitchen counter, an extra fold up table, just repacking Diddy's flipsticks. And I literally took them on the plane with me. We get there and like, once again, this was a time in life where my mindset was like ironclad. I'm like, I don't know why I'm here, but I'm here for a reason. They had another pitch competition. It was for 10 grand. And I'm like, I'm winning this time. They personally invited me to come pitch. I got this. I lost the pitch competition.
Dang.
To a 14-year-old girl.
Dang.
And she had some hot sauce.
That probably
Sienna
worked
sauce.
For her. Her being
she was a kid. She was so cute. What could you do?
Yeah, low key.
But it didn't faze me because I'm like, I'm here for a reason. And I knew all these celebrities were going to be, even more celebrities going to be at this event. So I'm like walking up to people. And I remember I walked up to Van Lathan from TMZ, who did the Kanye interview. And I walk up to him and I'm like, hey, man, flipstick. You know, this is my product. He's like, bro, I already know who you are. I'm like, what do you mean you know who I am? He's like, bro, they've been talking about you in the meetings. I said, the meetings? He's like, yeah, man. They're like, you effed up the whole last show. So they bought some flipsticks. Yeah, they've been talking about you in the meetings. I was like, that's crazy. So I'm feeling hype. I'm like, I got this. And there's all these different celebrities I'm giving flipsticks to. And I had actually made flipsticks with their faces on them or their brands because I'm like, I know they're going to be here. I just don't know what's going to happen. But the person I wanted to meet the most was the real OG, Snoop Doggy Dogg.
Okay. Felt.
And he was having his talk come up. And they're doing his talk. I went up to go ask a question. I was like fifth, sixth in line. And they're taking questions. I'm like, I'm going to get up there, ask him a question. He's going to talk about flipstick. And I'm one person away. And if you can't tell by my whole story, they said last question. One person away. And I'm like, oh, this can't be. And so just once again inside of me, I was like, I gotta get Snoop's attention. So I was like Jedi mind trick, like so, looking at him.
Like, look at me.
Like
look at me.
I'm like piercing into his soul.
Right.
And I take my phone and the girl's in front of me doing her question. And there's a pillar. I just take my phone and I jump and I slap it on the wall. and you know, Snoop, he's sitting there. And he's like, yo, no. That dude just stuck his phone on the wall. Y'all didn't see him stick his phone, the sticky phone right there, the sticky phone. It was like, and so he's arguing with the people. They're trying to play the music. They're trying to shut the show down. He's like, y'all not kicking me off this stage. This ain't the war show. I don't hear about the sticky phone. Let my dude spit about the sticky phone. And so I'm like, I go up to the stage. He lets me do my whole pitch. And I have his face on it. He sees, he's like, yo, this man's the branded genius. He already got the face on it. He's like, this gonna change the world. Crowd's going crazy. And I would get to go backstage with Snoop, and you know, he would give me some really dope words of encouragement. And obviously, you know, Revolt and Diddy's people are there excited because they had this whole viral moment. Right. AT&T is the sponsor. They're excited. It's a cell phone accessory at their event that they pay for. All the stuff happens. The video ends up going viral and stuff. And so what would end up happening was between Snoop and Revolt, one of the people at the pitch competition in Atlanta that I never pitched for was a casting director for Shark Tank. And they having the meetings. And he's hearing the story of what I'm doing, messing these shows up. And he ends up calling me up. It's like, yo, you're in Missouri, right? And I'm like, yeah. He's like, yeah, you know, I'm with Revolt. He's like, but I'm a casting director for Shark Tank. And he's like, I'll be in Kansas City in 2 days. Come. And so I go to Kansas City, audition, and they're like, you're going to be on the show. Mm. And that's how I got on Shark Tank.
Whoa.
Crazy, right?
That's a crazy role.
It was so much, and it does make me want to ask y'all a question. But I could just imagine, like, you developing a reputation of destroying these shows.
Listen, so Chris, but I'm entertaining.
Chris Tucker seeing you in the crowd like, oh, no, 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 get out.
Get him out of here.
Right now.
Man, and so.
Wow.
But, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, that's life. Like, that's your journey of life. And so many people give up at the first no or the second no. And they miss out on this whole incredible journey that the universe or God or whatever you believe in has set for you, for you to achieve your dreams. Because the thing is, the second time I went on the show, right, and auditioned, now it wasn't just, you know, oh, here's a guy with a cool product. Now it's a, here's a guy who rapped to Diddy and then convinced Snoop Dogg to use this product and had this whole viral thing. And now he's got this rap. Oh, well, if you did the rap for Diddy, you got to do the rap for Shark Tank. Now there's a story to be told.
Yeah.
And not only that, but one of the decision makers in the room already knows who I am. Right. So when they're cutting those people down, he's in the room like, well, you can't cut Flipstick because, you know.
Yeah,
that's the one that's gotta go. And it was like, you know, looking back on when I got rejected, like, imagine if I hadn't gone through that whole journey.
Right.
All these incredible people that I met that helped me along the way. I had so much fun. You know, I'm all over the place doing cool stuff. And so, man, it's one of those things where that really taught me, like, it's about the journey. If you just choose to take the next step, you don't have to know the how. You just got to know the why and what it is you're trying to do. And if you just keep taking one step, eventually you get to where you're trying to go and further.
Wow.
Story Stitches is supported in part by the Lewis Prize for Music 2021 Accelerator Award. The mission of the Lewis Prize is to partner with leaders who create positive change by investing in young people through music. Additional support for Stitchcast Studio and Story Stitches programs is provided by Missouri Department of Economic Development Youth Opportunities Program, the Arts and Education Council, and powered by Ameren Corp and Tegna Foundation. St. Louis Story Stitcher Studio, the center is supported in part by Kranzberg Arts Foundation as a resident organization. Thank you for listening.
They say who that, but you already knew that. That beat them Story Stitches, Story Stitches, Story Stitches, Story Stitches, Story Stitches.